At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Patrick Ahern, Manager of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Brock. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today to discuss our 2009 fourth quarter results. With me today are Mr. John Lau, President and Chief Executive Officer, Alister Cowan, Chief Financial Officer, Rob Peabody, Chief Operating Officer, Operations and Refining, and Terence Cutrick, Vice President of Midstream and Refined Products. In today's call, John will discuss the financial results and give an overview of the operational highlights. Terence Cutrick will provide an update on the midstream and downstream divisions, and John will then conclude, at which time we'll open up the call for questions, starting with analysts and followed by the media. Please note that today's comments contain forward-looking information. Actual results may differ materially from expected results because of various risk factors and assumptions that are described in our quarterly release and in our annual filings, which are available on SEDAR, EDGAR, and on our website. I'll now turn the call over to John.
Thank you, Patrick, and good afternoon to everyone. As you know, 2009 was a challenging year for the oil and gas industry. Commodity prices fell from the record heights of 2008, and the global economic meltdown raised many uncertainties for energy supply and demand. Husky took early actions to contain costs and focus on operational efficiencies. As a result, Husky was able to achieve significant reductions in operating costs for the year. The company enters 2010 with an enviable position of strong growth projects, a solid balance sheet with huge financial flexibility, and reliable and efficient operations. Results in the fourth quarter of 2009 reflected a stronger commodity price environment, with cash flow from operations significantly higher than the amount generated in the fourth quarter of 2008. Earnings were up 39% to $330 million, or $0.38 per share, from $231 million, or $0.27 per share in Q4 of 2008. Sales and operating revenues were $3.61 billion, compared with $4.7 billion in the fourth quarter of 2008. Cash flow from operations doubled to $657 million, or $0.77 per share, from $313 million, or $0.39 per share in the same quarter of 2008. Husky's production in the fourth quarter averaged 292,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, compared with 2008 fourth quarter production of 358,000 barrels of oil per day. Total crude oil and natural gas liquids production was 203,000 barrels of oil per day in the quarter, compared to 263,000 barrels per day in the fourth quarter of 2008. Liquids production in the fourth quarter was lower, mainly due to the shutdown of White Rose and turnover fields, which extended into the start of the fourth quarter for maintenance turnarounds and the tie-in of the Los Angeles facilities to the White Rose field. Total production levels at the White Rose field will be ramping up when the Los Angeles satellite begins production in the second quarter of 2010. Average natural gas production was 529 million cubic feet per day, down from 571 million cubic per day in the fourth quarter of 2008. Gas production was lower because of the planned reduction in capital expenditures on drilling and tie-ins as a result of lower commodity prices, flow-line restrictions, and reservoir decline. For the year, Husky sales and operating revenues, net of royalties, were $15.07 billion, compared with $24.7 billion in 2008. Net earnings for the year were $1.42 billion, or $1.67 per share, compared with $3.75 billion, or $4.42 per share in 2008. Cash flow from operations was $2.51 billion, or $2.95 per share, compared with $5.95 billion, or $7 per share in 2008. Cash flow in 2009 was impacted by cash taxes of $1.3 billion, which were based on record earnings in 2008. Current taxes in 2010 are expected to be around $500 million based on earnings generated in 2009. The company remains in a strong financial position. Total debt at the end of 2009, net of cash and cash equivalents, was $2.84 billion. Debt to cash flow and debt to capital employed ratios at December 31, 2009, were 1.3 times and 18.3% respectively. We are pleased to advise that Husky's Board of Directors has approved a quarterly dividend of 30 cents per share payable on 1st April 2010 to shareholders of record on March 1st, 2010. During the fourth quarter, Husky progressed on mega projects in line with our medium and long-term growth plan. Front-end engineering design facility work for the Sunrise Phase 1 project was completed. Optimization and redesign of the project has reduced the capital cost of Phase 1 by over $1 billion to about $2.5 billion for the project. Government and regulator approvals for the revised design are now in place, and corporate sanction of the project is expected later in 2010. On the East Coast of Canada, Husky completed a major turnaround on the SeaRose FPSO, the floating production storage and offloading vessel, as well as completed the Loft Analyst subsea tie-in work. Production from the Loft Analyst will begin in the second quarter and ramp up in 2010 as additional wells are brought into operation. During the fourth quarter, Husky and his partners in the mission discovery in the Flemish Pass Basin applied to CNLOPB, Canada, Newfoundland and Labrador Offshore Petroleum Board, for a significant discovery license. In China, front-end engine design work for the Luwen 3-1 deep water project was substantially complete. The overall development plan is being finalized with expected submission to partner and regulator authorities in early 2010. Project sanction is expected this year. Block 2926 continues to show excellent exploration potential. In December, Husky announced another significant discovery with the Luhao 3421 exploration well, located approximately 23 kilometers northeast of the Luwen 31 field. Delineation of the new discovery and development engineering work are about to commence to tie in the field into the planned infrastructure for the Luwen 31 field, with first production from both fields in the 2013 timeframe. In addition to the Liuhao 342 discovery, three appraisal wells were drilled by the West Hercules on the Luwen 31 field. The rig is currently drilling another exploration well at Liuhao 2911, and when complete, will move back to Liuhao 342 discovery to drill an appraisal well. In Western Canada, Husky continued to build its position in a number of gas resource plays and in 2009 acquired an additional 89,000 net acres around established areas in the Alberta foothills and northeast British Columbia. We now turn to you about the midstream and downstream divisions.
Thanks, John. While Husky's heavy oil production benefited from the low light to heavy oil price differential in the quarter, upgrader earnings in the quarter were impacted, realizing a unit margin of $13.67 per barrel compared with $24.60 per barrel during the same period in 2008. This decrease was partially offset by lower unit operating costs in the fourth quarter of 2009. The pipeline and other infrastructure segment of our midstream business continued to perform in line with expectations. U.S. refining and marketing earnings increased in the fourth quarter of 2009 compared with the fourth quarter of 2008 as a result of improved product margins offsetting reduced sales volumes. The Lima and Toledo refineries continue to be impacted by low crack spreads and falling crude oil prices, which resulted in inventory write-downs, resulting in net earnings of a negative $43 million in the fourth quarter. The Lima refinery completed a major maintenance turnaround in the quarter, with operations resuming on November 30th. At Toledo, Husky and its partner announced the sanction of the Continuous Catalytic Regeneration Reformer project. The project will improve the competitiveness of the refinery by reducing energy consumption and lowering operating costs. In the fourth quarter of 2009, our Canadian refined products division benefited from a higher ethanol gross margin of $19 million compared with $3 million for the same quarter in 2008. The higher gross margin was due to higher sales volumes combined with the receipt of funds earned under government incentive programs. Ethanol production in the fourth quarter was 11% higher than in the same period of 2008. In December, Husky signed an agreement to purchase 98 retail outlets in the Southern Ontario market, increasing the company's network by 20% to 571 retail outlets. The stations will be rebranded over the second and third quarters of 2010. I will now pass the call back to John for his concluding remarks.
Thank you, Terrence. Husky achieved solid financial performance in 2009. Operating and administrative expenses are well under control, and good progress has been made in these strategic projects. I'm very pleased to say Husky's position is not looking at cutback or reduce of our headcount. Husky has exciting major projects, including the Luwen discovery in the South China Sea, the Sunrise Oil Sand projects in Alberta, and White Rose and East Satellite developments on the east coast of Canada. The company also has its extensive Western Canada heavy oil, light oil, and natural gas portfolio. Husky entered a new decade positioned to create shareholder value with a core asset base to grow in the near, medium, and long term. Husky has a bright future, and thank you for your continued support. Back to you, Patrick.
Thank you, John. That concludes the formal part of the call, and we'd be pleased to answer any questions that you might have. I'll now turn the call back to the conference operator, Brock.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Once again, anyone who has a question, please press star then one at this time. Our first question today comes from Terry Peters of Canaccord Adams.
Thank you. I have two questions. The first is whether you could make any comments regarding the impact that the new SEC reserve regulations might have had, and also related to that, when you expect to file your year-end reserves. And the second question I'll give after that, you answer that one.
Okay, Terry.
Okay, it is Rob Peabody. I think the only, I mean, clearly I'm assuming you're referring to sort of going to the average first day of the month versus sort of the final year constant pricing. Is that sort of the focus of your question?
Yes, and whether the change in the definition of PUDs beyond 5 years as well.
Well, I think the answer is there's been no substantial impact on our reserves. You know, clearly in the previous years, because of the pricing mechanisms that were used, sometimes heavy oil was impacted. Under this year's regulation, under constant pricing, there's a bit more impact for gas reserves. I think you'll see that across all the companies that report. But our focus, frankly, still is on is sort of on the real underlying reserve additions using our sort of price forecast going forward.
And do you expect, when do you expect to file your reserves? Last time you did it with your fourth quarter.
Yeah. Terry, it's Alistair here. Due to the changes that the SEC has required, we won't be able to file or publish those until we file our Form 40F with the U.S. in mid-March. And the reason for that is any earlier disclosure would be considered early adoption by the SEC, and therefore we're not able to do that.
Okay. All right. And my second question has to do with your dividend policy, and if you can get a comment. If I look at just even consensus estimates, your current dividend is about a 50% payout, and I'm just interested to know whether you're driving your dividend policy off an earnings payout. Or if you even look on a cash basis with your current budget and the current consensus cash flow, you're just about matched between your capital and your dividend requirements and your cash flow. So what's the driver for the dividend decision?
Terry, that's John here. That is a question supposed to be answered by the board because it is a dividend policy. I can only speak from the company point of view, give you a bit of highlight. From our dividend structure, we are completely comfortable about the dividend at the moment, the pay level. We are maintaining a top quartile dividend policy, dividend payout in line with all the peers company. As you appreciate, we rank as the top and average, we are 4%. Over so many years from the Husky, especially from the operation point of view, we very seldom have draw money to pay dividend. We always look at our position. Our budget are very conservative, and we look at the total long cash item. So I'm looking at the cash flow statement. We are comfortable more than enough to pay the dividend, even if the board decides to maintain at this level, plus our capital requirement. So I don't and visualize there will be any change and material change during the coming year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Please stand by while we wait for questions to queue. Our next question comes from Carrie Tate of the National Post.
My question's been answered. Thanks.
Hello, Carrie. Good.
We have our next question is from Jeff Jones of Reuters.
Yes, Mr. Lau, my question.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How about yourself?
Good.
My question relates to your announcement last year that you had planned the spin-off of your Asian operations, and I was wondering if that is still being considered. If so, what the timing is?
And that strategic planning still on our agenda. We are working very closely for this spring off and look at the strategic benefit for all shareholders. And in view of the China project, we are drilling another exploration well. We expect there will be some result come out, and that I hope everything will be good. So I look at the strategic position. We will consider that subject to tax driver. Tax is the main driver on the rearrangement and also the benefit for creation of shareholder value as a separate company. We will make the decision and in this year.
Would it be early in the year, later in the year?
Well, I think I dare say in the middle of the year when the when the advisor confirms about everything is in order, we want to make sure that will be a good project for all shareholders.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Lauren Krugel of the Canadian Press.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Lauren.
Hello. My question relates to the downstream. Following the deal that you did with Suncor late last year, I was wondering whether you were looking at any other potential acquisitions in the downstream, whether it's refineries or retail or anything you're looking at.
Before I ask her turn to answer, I think we will continue to look at opportunities, and especially we are an integrated oil and gas company. I want to maximize the whole carbon change. This is one of the opportunities we have to acquire the 98 petrol stations. So, Terrence, you want to address to that?
Sure. Lauren, thank you for the question. I think that John's answered actually quite well. It is a regular process for us to investigate these opportunities and to pursue our integrated strategy when we see appropriate. We'll continue to do that investigation on an ongoing basis.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
The next question comes from Nathan Vanderclip of Globe and Mail.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Nathan.
Hi. Just to drill down a little bit more on Lauren's question, I mean, would you have any interest in this refinery, in the Chevron refinery in BC, if that were to become available?
I think it's fair to say, Nathan, that just like the previous answer, we'll be examining these opportunities as they come up, and we'll make our decisions on a case-by-case basis.
Thanks very much.
The next question comes from Jessica Resnick-Alt of Bloomberg.
Hi. I guess I'm curious about the integration overseas. Are there any plans, or is there any investigation into the possibility of opening up a refining presence in China?
It depends on the market opportunity. And at the moment, quite a lot of proposals are talking open in, or build a refining in China or upgrade in China. So I can't comment on that until we really decide to make the move. So just going to China, I think at this time, I say no, but we'll continue to look at opportunity and work with the government if the time comes.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. There appears to be no further questions at this time. I'll hand the conference back to Patrick Ahern for any closing comments.
Thanks, Brock, and thank you for your participation in our conference call today. If you have any additional questions or comments, please follow up with me offline. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now concluded. You may disconnect your telephones. Thank you for joining, and have a pleasant day.